Okay, you're ready, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Well, welcome everybody and to the April edition of our IPAC meeting. We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order and ask that we proceed with a roll call.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have Jagadishan Krishnamurthy.
Present.
Brian Kirkland.
Present.
Eddie Cook.
Here.
Lev Gonick.
Here.
David Byers.
Here.
J.R. Sloan.
Here.
Chandler Coiner for Richard Stavnik.
Here.
Ryan Murray.
I am here.
Representative Nguyen. Okay, Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you all for taking the time to attend today. Appreciate your attention to these items. One note for the committee members, you're going to see over the course of the next month, we are going to be, I'll say, canceling the current monthly invitation that you see and replacing it as we are transitioning the service that we're using for the streaming component. But we have to update the invite to do that. So we'll be sending you some additional communication on that to make sure that you don't miss anything, but wanted to give you a heads up to expect that. Beyond that, I will go ahead and remind everyone that this is a public meeting and we do follow the public meeting law. We have the link in the agenda that you can follow to submit a comment if you wish to do so, and the team will disposition that. With that, we'll go ahead and step into our first item, which is approval of the March 15th recording as our minutes from our prior meeting. Any discussion on that topic or a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move to approve.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. Do we have a second?
This is Jaggy. I have a second.
Thank you, Jaggy. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, thank you. That was unanimous. Okay, we'll move into our next item on our agenda, which is the first voting item, which will be the Department of Economic Security talking about their ServiceNow implementation.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Bob Mussey. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Arizona Department of Economic Security, who will introduce themselves shortly, followed by a brief overview of their project. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, the Arizona Department of Economic Security's Division of Technology Services is requesting an approval to replace an aging, underperforming ShareWell system with a new SaaS solution, ServiceNow. ServiceNow will enable DES to improve operational efficiencies, as well as manage IT services and hardware assets. At this time, I'll turn it over to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed project and answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Carrie Allen, and I am here today to present our ServiceNow project to the committee. With me, I have Mark Darwer, our CIO, and Clayton Sykes, our deputy CIO, and several other members of our project. Moving to the next slide. As stated, we are here to replace our aging and assert ShareWell system. ShareWell did announce after they were bought by a third-party company, Avanti, that they will be replacing it with a different system, which prompted DES to start an evaluation of new product lines for our IT service management, or ITSM. The goal is to use the new ServiceNow product that for both the CMDB ITSM initiatives, as well as hardware asset management. Can we move to the next slide? We worked with ADOA to go through their evaluation process as well as evaluating tools ourselves. We did land also on the ServiceNow product, which is used by several different state entities, including ADOA and several others listed here, the County of Arizona, Maricopa County here in this city of Phoenix. Sorry about that. We are going to be moving to the ServiceNow FedRAMP government cloud for this initiative. As you can see here, ServiceNow offers us a lot of opportunity, not only today with our initiative for ITSM and hardware asset management, but in the future. Can we move to the next slide? We are working with an implementation vendor to go through a project that will implement ServiceNow and provide us the capability to move from our existing shareable system to ServiceNow. As you can see here, we've got the normal shared responsibilities as well as some responsibilities outlined for each project team. Next slide. We will be starting this May of this year and ending early next calendar year. Here are the financial breakdowns for our implementation. Next slide. And here's some further breakdown. And moving on. Once we've implemented ServiceNow, the goal is to be 100% in the new system. We will be working new tickets in the new system, and we will also have new capabilities in hardware asset management, as well as mentioned before, a working system in ServiceNow to replace the existing shareable system that we have today. Next slide. Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Carrie. I want to drag you back to your timeline and ask a timeline question, which would be, since you are, we know there's the kind of end of product life announced for Sharewell. Anything in terms of critical timelines, where are you bumping up against either a contract renewal, end of support date, that type of thing in your timeline that we need to be aware of that would be relevant?
Yes, as of today, the relevant time factor would be our renewal of Sharewell that does happen in December, at the end of December. And that would be the only factor at this point that will impact this project.
Okay. And your go live, so you're kind of right up against it with your timeline. So do you feel like do you have much, I'll say, buffer in there?
At this point, we're looking early next year, as you can see on the timeline, to roll out. So we're going to look at options at renewal on what we can do, but okay. We foresee a renewal happening for one more year.
Okay. That was my core question. Any other questions from the committee members? Lev, go ahead.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks so much for the presentation. It's really an informational question. ServiceNow is obviously an enterprise ticketing and workflow tool. Are other agencies across the state engaged in or making use of or exploring a master agreement with ServiceNow?
I'll say yes, Lev, and that the purchases that are happening, DOAs, for those agencies that are interested in coming forward, we're working to ensure that we're aggregating the buying volume of the state in these purchases. So I'll say that effectively we have that enterprise type agreement in place. So they're not being executed as individual disconnected purchases.
Terrific, thanks. That's really good to hear as well.
Yeah, and I will also add that we are having on-purpose discussions from an architectural deployment perspective to ensure that, I'll say there are some agencies that have approached DOA about onboarding to our instance if it doesn't make sense for them to own their own instance. for organizations, large organizations like DES with more complex requirements, where it does make sense that for them to have their own instance, then they are receiving that under the same licensing arrangement, but benefiting from the volume buy. All right, any other questions? Okay, if there are no other questions, back to you, Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. ASSET is recommending that this PIDGE be approved with the following other conditions as presented.
Okay. I think these are the standard conditions, so any questions on those? If not, we'll move forward to a motion for a vote.
This is Brian. I'll move to approve with the stated stipulations.
Thank you, Brian. Do we have a second?
This is Ryan. I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Murray. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that's a unanimous vote. Thank you, Carrie and DES team for being here. Glad that was a quick review and approval, but I think that speaks to the technology selection and preparation. So good luck with the project.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members.
Okay, we will move forward to our next item, which is a change request coming to us from the State Retirement System.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Karen Whiteford, and I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Arizona State Retirement System, also known as ASRS, who will introduce themselves after a brief overview of the project. In June of 2021, the Payroll Calculation Reengineering Project was approved by ITAC. The goal of this project is to upgrade code in the in-house custom pension automation system. Development began as scheduled in the second quarter of 2021. In the third quarter of 2021, work was suspended as ASRS senior management temporarily reassigned resources from this team to mandatory time-sensitive maintenance and operations efforts that were not pidgeable. The Arizona State Retirement System is requesting an extension to the end date of this project from May 31st, 2023 to November 30th, 2024. At this time, I will turn this over to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed change request and answer any questions you may have.
I get off mute there. Thank you, Karen. And Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Dave King. I'm the Chief Information Officer here at ASRS. I'm joined on this phone call by David Bantel, who's our project manager / business analyst on the project. He can answer any technical questions if you have any, but I'm just gonna go over the parameters of the change request Karen already gave you a synopsis of. Next slide, please. As Karen mentioned, we put together a project a few years ago to revamp how we calculate our pensions. Our pensions right now are calculated in a large batch process once a month with 160,000 payments calculated at the same time over a three-day period. We decided that's archaic, needs to be revamped, and so we want to redesign how pensions are calculated every month with just an ongoing payment amount that always stays the same unless something changes, and then in the moment something changes to recalculate the payment at that time, so that when we run payroll, all we're doing is creating a file once a month. It reduces risk and improves transparency with our members and things like that. So this is a major performance improvement, efficiency improvement, customer service enhancement for our system. It's not necessarily a delivery improvement. We've always made payroll on the first of the month. So this was presented as a pitch a couple of years ago, and has a development cost of just under $1 million. Next slide. The original timeline on this was basically May of 2021 through May of 2023, which we are only a month away from right now. We had to put that project on hold for a little while we had to work on time-sensitive projects for that team. We have a limited number of teams. And now we would like to run the project. We had done some of the project. We'd like to run the project from May of 2023 this year through November of 2024. The three projects that we were that the team was diverted to do involved the state's debit card vendor change. We issue debit cards to any members who are retirees who do not have a bank account for us to direct deposit into. That's only a few hundred people a month, but the it's the same debit card vendor that other state agencies use for like unemployment benefits and things like that. So that vendor changed, and we had to switch to a new debit card vendor in the fall of 2021, and then our returns, our investment returns improved to the point and consistently to the point where we introduced a permanent benefit increase for our retirees for the first time in 16 years. And that was only determined in a moment in the spring of 2022. We had to implement that so that it could be applied. And then the third project was the change to the W-4P form. The way the feds want to do 1099-Rs changed how the taxes would be calculated, and so we had to implement that. So that team worked on those three efforts and now is ready to get back to the pension calculation project. Next slide, please. So you'll see that the items in yellow, the marks in yellow, are the time that the project team spent on the other three efforts. Next slide. The new timeline is as shown with the yellow area, just very lightly shaded now. We will pick up where we left off on that project and then complete the other milestones over the next year and a half. Next slide, please. It's just another view of it. We did complete two of the milestones. We were 30% of the way through the third milestone, which is the conversion of the calculation, and have not started the remaining milestones, and those are timelined out on the far right columns. Next slide. And now it's Q&A. So that's it. We have no change in scope. We have no change in spend on the project because we had the teams work on other efforts, and we just want to pick up where we left off. So do you have any questions from the committee? Or the chair.
All right, thanks Dave. So I'll first open up to the committee members for any questions. If not, I have a technical clarification I want to make sure we cover on the slide deck, and then I've got a point of order for the committee after we vote. So if there are any questions from the, here we go, Ryan, go ahead.
I'll just ask one quick question, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Dave, maybe the glaring question, are there any other priority projects coming down the pipe in the next couple of years that might significantly impact to the same degree this project?
That's a very good question, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. We do have a limited number of developers that we can assign to. Oh my gosh, look what happened there. And in the fiscal year 2023, we had to do seven different mandatory. Oh, look at this project related to health insurance and taxable benefits. The A4 changed as well. The state return changed as well. Things like that happen, and there is a chance that these kind of projects do come down the pike, and we have to divert the teams again. This particular project, there is not a risk element related to it. There's not a security element related to it. Our ISO, our information security officer, is heavily involved in the selection of our projects as well, as is our senior management up to our board of trustees. And we're pretty transparent on what we do, and they help us select these projects. So Ryan, Mr. Chairman, and the committee, there is a chance something like this could happen again. We're not aware of this team needing any diversions in the coming 2 years or year and a half, which is why we're ready to get going on this project again.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Any other questions? Okay, then I'm going to ask, can we back up the slides to, I think it's the second timeline. I'm not sure if it occurred on the first timeline. I want to be clear from a technical terminology clarification. We would consider the project on hold as opposed to suspended. A suspended project is when DOA intervenes on a project that is struggling or failing. And I want to be clear that that is not what happened in this case. I would maybe ask the team, work with the state retirement system to just tweak the slides on this for our final record. But I want to make sure I made mention of it in this, as this will be our official minutes as well in the recording. That's my technical clarification. With that, if there are no other questions, I will turn it back over, and we can to the engagement manager before we head to a vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. ASSET is recommending that the change request be approved with the original conditions as presented.
Okay, very good. If there is no discussion on the conditions, I will take a motion with regard to the project, or the change request, I should say. Don't be shy.
This is Lev. I move.
Thank you, Lev. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Byers. Okay, everyone in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that's unanimous vote. Move on, Dave. Keep going with this. But I will have you listen for the clarification, because this is not picking on ASR. It's just something I want to, I'm going to ask the ITAC committee to consider providing a directive to ASSET and our ASSET oversight team with regard to this type of circumstance. Here we had a case where an agency had an approved project. They had urgent items that arose. I think they did their own internal assessment evaluation that they could put the project on hold without affecting scope or cost, and yet still meet the mandatory things they had to do. However, to me, the missing piece here is that ITAC wasn't notified that the project got put on hold. And I'd like to have the directive be that oversight update their process to ensure that we get timely notification from, and I'm not saying there wasn't timely notification, but when we have notification from an agency that a project goes on hold that has been approved by ITAC, we go ahead and provide that up, because otherwise it's not going to be until the agency can see that when they're going to start and be able to plan the completion of the project to submit a change request that it's going to come back, and I don't want it to come back as a surprise. So discussion on that, or are you up for that as a directive from ITAC to ASSET oversight?
Are you looking for a motion, JR, or just discussion?
Well, I'll start with discussion, unless you think it's such an awesome idea you want to go straight to vote.
Well, do you have a list of pros and cons, JR, that you might want to share with us?
I don't think there's any. Well, the pros are that I will say back in 2021 or 22, right, when the circumstance arose, at least there would have been a heads up and an item in the ITAC record that this project was going to go on hold. And the reasons why, and any information that's available in terms of, like, do we understand what the duration is or what the next checkpoint is, just to keep ITAC informed. That's the pro. The con, I don't have a con, unless someone can think of a downside of just the notification coming up that, hey, a project that you approved is going to get put on hold. Now, part of the hold on hold process, I guarantee our oversight team is going to be engaging to have the discussions around schedule and cost and, you know, scope to ensure that if there's any, obviously there's any impact there, that's probably going to get noted as well. So I view it as positive, ensuring that we, I'll say, I think our current process doesn't prompt for this notification today, and I think it should.
Does the notification, does that put, I don't want to say negative light on any of the agencies or departments that might expose them to maybe some business inefficiency that we're, I'm not saying we try to embarrass a team or not, but I'm just kind of curious from a con perspective and trying to create synergy and teamwork across the state, does that provide, you know, an unfortunate, unintentional consequence, you know, for a particular agency or organization?
That's a good question. Chuck, what do you have comment on that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Chuck Brown with APUA Asset. As far as bringing anything to light that wouldn't already be out there or any negative connotation, what I would say is the information is already captured and relayed to multiple parties through what's called the quarterly report process on any of the projects that come to the committee. I think the gap in the process is we don't have a standing process where while we're putting it into the quarterly report and that's published and publicly available and consumed by the legislature and others, the committee itself is not getting an individual report separate from that telling you this project specifically that you passed has been put on hold and the reasons that are already laid out in the report. So we just need to implement a short step in the process that when that happens between interaction of oversight and the agency, we do a short informational update to the committee, like we do on a lot of projects already, to let you know that this project's been put on hold and the reasonings behind it. And it wouldn't expose anything that's not already put out into quarterly reports.
Good question, Eddie. Thank you. Mr. Murray.
I'll just ask maybe a broader question. Are there any other status changes that we might want to look at having them brought back to ITAC for discussion besides just having a project being put on hold or suspended?
Mr. Chairman, I can address that as far as currently when a project is entering its contingency stage, we traditionally provide an informational update to the committee already. The other status is would include the health of the project, but those are handled through status reporting and they don't automatically trigger a report back to the committee. So right now it would just be under two scenarios primarily, which would be in the new one, we're putting the project on hold in agreement with the agency for whatever reason. And then when the agency is looking to enter their 10% contingency, then that is brought back for an informational update. So those are the two times if we add this one that it would normally happen.
Sounds good. Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Murray. Any other discussion? Okay. Then I'll take a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve of the informational provided to ITAC in the future.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, thank you, Mr. Byers. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, thank you, committee. Chuck, I'm going to ask that we just do a brief write-up of what this is, and then we can show the committee in our next meeting to formalize it. I think it would be helpful.
Yes, sir. We'll do.
Okay.
We'll put it on the agenda for the next meeting.
All right. Thank you. Okay. With that, we'll move forward to informational update. Again, we have DES with their UI benefits modernization project.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Bob Mussey. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today with more members of the Department of Economic Security, As a condition of the DERS UI Benefits Modernization PIDGE DE23008 recently presented to the committee, the team will introduce themselves, then provide the committee with an informational update to the overall status of their creation of the Digital Transformation Office.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you for the time today. Mark Darmer, I am the Chief Information Officer for the department. On the meeting as well. Sorry, go ahead, JR.
I'm sorry, Mark. I think this is my mistake. I want to be clear for the committee. I announced the informational item, which is coming up next. What we have on table now is a change request, correct? And it's the change request for the current child care attendance tracking solution.
Correct.
Sorry. That was my mistake in the introduction. But I believe that Bob got it right. despite my misintroduction, but I wanted to be clear that we are on, again, a change request, not an informational update. So this will be a voting night.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As indicated, Mark Darmer, I'm the Chief Information Officer for the agency. I also have several members of the Child Care Attendance Tracker Project team on the meeting as well. And with that, we'll go ahead and move into the presentation. Members, we're coming to you today related to a project that was approved last year. And we have seen some timeline slippage due to some higher priority items that have come up. And we will dive into what that change in the timeline is. But essentially, for a refresher, the Child Care Attendance Tracking Project really automates a very manual system right now that the agency uses for provision of child care services. Currently, the agency prints several thousand paper billing documents every month, mails them to providers for them to go through and verify which children they provided care for during the month, make any adjustments in writing on the document, and then submit those documents back to the agency for processing. As you can imagine, that is a very manually labor-intensive process. We spend a lot of money on postage every month for that to take place, and it's burdensome on the providers as well because they're having to get that document, spend a lot of time going over those documents and then mailing them back to the agency, or in a lot of cases, they actually end up driving them back to DES office for processing. So definitely being able to go through and automate this process will improve it substantially. The selected application is provided by a company called KinderCare, and it provides essentially a point of sale terminal at each child care provider's facility where the parent will be able to check their child in and out. Each day that information will then be recorded and transmitted electronically to DES for payment processing. So it really brings us into really the 21st century, unfortunately. And so we are definitely looking forward to the project. Originally, we had looked at having the project run from January through April. As we'll go into in a couple of slides, we'll explain how that timeline has slipped. So next slide, please. So what we're looking at is extending the timeline from the current end of April to the end of June. There were a couple of things that have come up. Certainly with the public health unwinding and some of the activities that we've been going through at the federal level with the child care program, we have had some resource stretch. We've had some turnover in terms of technical resources and have had to go and backfill those. A couple of things that we're doing to ensure that we hit that June timeline that we're revising to. Not only have we backfilled the resources that we've lost, but we're actually bringing in additional resources in the event that anything that may come up in the future, we're much better resourced to be able to handle that going forward. Next slide. Again, this is merely a schedule change. There is no change in the scope nor the cost of the project. We will use the available APF funds through June 30th for payment of invoices and project work. We are anticipating that there will be invoices after June 30th. We're currently projected to go live in June 30th. So the vendor will be submitting invoices after that. We are actively working with OSPB and JLBC on an extension of those APF funds to be able to pay those invoices. Next slide. This slide outlines the revised project timeline and the milestones and their current projected end dates. As you can see, there are dates that go beyond June 30th, but those are predominantly pertaining to training reports, rollout report, and then a final delivery report, and then payment of final invoices. So functionality of the system will be completed in June 30th with the go live. The additional pieces that will take place after that are related to reporting functionality and report outs on the project and then payment of those invoices. Next slide, please. Again, this is just a breakdown of the remaining project timeline for the remaining milestones. As you can see, milestone 7 and 8 are the two important ones, and those are lining up to be the end of June. And then the payment of the final report and the outstanding invoices will occur between July and December. Next slide. And with that, Mr. Chair, I will open it up to you and the committee for any questions that you may have.
Okay, committee members, any questions?
Nope.
Okay, tell you what, I'll go back and just, I think I previously kind of illustrated the question that I'm gonna have, Mark, which is, you noted that your end of funding hits at the end of June, and you've got some milestones that are occurring after that. So I guess it's sort of implied that you've got other fund sources that you're going to use to cover those milestones for any outstanding invoices at that point.
Mr. Chair, members, we are actively working with OSPB and JLBC as part of the fiscal 24 budget process. To extend the approval of that APF funding to pay those invoices for the project. So in the event that that doesn't take place, we will have to work with OSPB and JLBC as it relates to those outstanding invoices. But our hope at this point, and I believe all indications are that we will be able to move through that extension of the APF.
All right, thanks. Chuck, you had your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to add on to what Mr. Dahmer was saying, assuming that that extension is granted as we're supporting DAS through the process, we'll do a quick change request through a consent agenda once that takes place, just to line up everything according to those dates that Mr. Dahmer's presented, just so the committee has clarity. We'll take care of that. We understand that the plan has to stretch a little bit, but we want to stick within our approvals right now. Once we get that approval, like I said, we'll bring it in for a consent agenda item so that it won't burden Des with a long presentation.
Sounds good. Okay, any other questions from the committee? If not, I'll turn it back over to you, Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Asset is recommending that the change request be approved with the conditions as presented. These are the original conditions for the PIDGE.
Okay, any questions or discussion on the conditions? If there's none, I will take a motion with regard to the change request.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. Do we have a second?
This is Jeggy, I'll second.
Thank you, Jeggy. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you, Mark and team. Good luck with the continued execution of the project.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. Appreciate the time today and the approval.
Okay, now we are on to an informational item, which is the DERS UI benefits modernization.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Bob Mussey. I'm an engagement manager of the Department of Administration. I'm joined today again by the Department of Economic Security. As stated earlier, a condition of the DERS UI benefits modernization PIDGE, DE23008, recently presented to the committee. The team will introduce themselves and then provide the committee with an informational update to the overall status of their creation of the Digital Transformation Office.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. Thank you, Bob. As outlined originally when the department came forward to request approval of the unemployment insurance benefits project, we outlined the department's intent to establish a digital transformation office. A lot of that had to do with DES currently has three large-scale IT-related projects going on that require significant time investment from not just an IT perspective, but also from within the respective divisions that are working with IT on those projects. And so what we have done in conjunction with our chief technology officer, we put together a plan on how we can better manage those projects internally within the organization and provide a standard project management and oversight for those larger scale projects. And out of that was born the Digital Transformation Office, or DTO. The following slides will provide an outline of what that DTO looks like and what the process will be for those projects, primarily that need to come before the ITAC group for review and approval. Next slide, please. So with that, certainly the objective of the office is to ensure that technology needs that are brought forth within the organization follow the overarching IT plan or city plan, if you will. DES undertook a very in-depth review and analysis with Gartner about 3.5 years ago. And Gartner really laid out for DES what should we be looking at from an IT roadmap for the organization for the next 3 to 5 years. And as part of establishing the DTO, we want to make sure that as we proceed with any of these projects, that they are in alignment with that city plan, and that will be the overarching objective of the DTO. Goals, of course, deliver modernization initiatives on time, budget, and better quality, provide leadership and guidance, ensure adherence to that city plan, and provide consistent management of those projects across the organization. Next slide. This outlines the high-level roles and responsibilities. I won't delve into this too much, other than to say this really sets forth the and addresses some of the issues that we've seen on some of our prior projects around who are the right people to have in the roles on the project, and ensuring that those individuals that are identified truly have the decision-making ability to be in that role that they've been identified for. Also looking at how we provide really agile training to the staff that will be involved in these projects. And that's been one of the lessons learned on our AZ Cares project, is that because DES has not undertaken these larger scale projects for a number of years, our teams aren't really up to speed on some of those more progressive management approaches to these large scale IT projects. Agile project management being one of those. Certainly our IT staff are aware of it, but a lot of the subject matter experts that we rely on for these projects have not been exposed to that agile project methodology. So we'll be making sure that we provide them training and guidance as we head into those projects. Next slide. Again, this kind of outlines a high-level organizational structure for the projects. The executive sponsor will continue to be the assistant director of the business unit or division that is involved in the project and really has that technology need. Our digital transformation office will report up through that executive sponsor with a dotted line to our Division of Technology Resources. And then underneath that digital transformation office will be that IT project staffing. And really this brings into alignment, making sure that those staff that have been identified to be working on the project are truly dedicated to the project and not trying to do their day job as well as be on the project. This will provide a much clearer management structure for that to occur and ensure that the project leader, our digital transformation office, will have oversight and reporting capability for those team members. Next slide. This breaks down the structure a little bit further down into the lower levels from the executive sponsor and the project sponsor. You can see it breaks it into three main categories, which is the business delivery manager, product manager, the program manager, and the technical delivery manager. So really identifying the roles for the project and then filling in those blocks for each of those projects. It also shows the direct line of sight that our executive steering committee or stakeholders and program support will have into the project. Next slide. Again, program structure, points of control, outlines what those various roles within the project will do and what ownership. This breaks it down a little bit further. I won't bore you all with reading words on the screen, but just wanted to provide a little bit more detail about what each of those individual roles is and what their responsibilities are on those projects. Next slide. Again, decision roles and responsibilities. This breaks it down a little bit further into how should that project hierarchy really flow and at what level should decisions be made on the project. Unfortunately, what we experienced on our child support project is this was almost an inverted decision-making authority that took place on the project and really slowed the project down and severely overburdened our executive that was involved in the project. So we want to ensure that standing up this digital transformation office, we're able to control that and not have our assistant directors end up being a full-time project lead as well as trying to run a division within the agency. So this will definitely reset for the future and make sure that we get those folks assigned to the project that are the most knowledgeable and have that decision-making authority and capability to keep things from having to bubble all the way up to an executive level for a decision. Next slide. And with that, Mr. Chair, I will open it up to you and the committee for any questions that you may have.
Okay, again, this is an informational item, so there's not a vote, but any questions from the committee? Or even comments? Okay, I'll also say, from my perspective, Mark, I'm excited that you put that office together. I think it's well thought out. I like the plan that it's supporting in terms of the larger city plan. You know, it came out of your engagement with Gartner, and I think it's going to serve DES well going forward as you head through this. You know, you've got multiple large modernization projects in flight, and I think it's going to continue to support success in the organization. So kudos to you and the team for putting together a good plan on that. Mr. Murray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll echo what JR said. I'm super excited to see what this looks like when you guys get it put together and actually start running some projects through it. Super cool. I was just going to ask, the digital transformation officer, is that a position that's already been filled? Is that going to be a single person? What does that look like in the org structure?
The position has been filled. We have an extremely knowledgeable individual within the organization, Durga Patella, who is currently our Chief Technology Officer. Durga will actually be heading up the Digital Transformation Office. And we've already started adding resources to the office. We have added a security resource, a person from our operations team, folks from our solution architect group, and also project management. So one of the things that we wanted to make sure of is that as things come up related to these larger scale projects, they don't get put into the regular mix of work, if you will, of the agency and end up hitting any roadblocks or time constraints. And so we really wanted to allow the Digital Transformation Office to have those resources and be able to get those things through those processes very quickly. And so Durga is heading it up. He is in the process right now. We will be advertising for essentially a deputy for Durga related to the Digital Transformation Office. That position should be posted here in the next couple of weeks, and we will continue to add resources in. The other thing that we are looking at as part of this, one of the kind of skills gaps that we've identified for these larger scale projects is around project management. DES has a very strong project management office within our Division of Technology Services. One of the detriments that we have is that because we haven't done these larger scale projects in decades, literally in a lot of cases, we don't have that muscle strength built up. And so we are in the process right now of putting together a small scale procurement to go through and do project management as a service. Rather than going out and hiring an individual project manager for any of these projects, we'll actually be having a firm that will be available to do project management for those. So lots of hiring going on, lots of bringing in the right resources to make these projects successful.
Thank you, Mr. Dharma. And I think you answered my other question. I was just going to double check because the slides I'm looking at, they're a little blurry on the actual wording. If there was a security person embedded in this program group. So it sounds like that's the case.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Ryan. Yes, absolutely. There is Dan Wilkins, our Chief Information Security Officer, has been working very closely with Durga to make sure that we've got the right resource available for the DTO to be able to get those security concerns related to any of these projects addressed.
Fantastic. Thank you, sir.
All right. Any other questions or comments? Okay, folks, that brings us to the end of the items that we'll be covering in the context of the meeting. I'll acknowledge there's a written update from the Administrative Office of the Courts on their CMS replacement project. I think they're very close to having a decision and determination, and I expect we'll be seeing them back before us here shortly. But stay tuned for that. Our next meeting is May 17th. So you can put that on your calendars. Again, as I said, you can watch for an updated meeting request coming from our team to you to address the change in our streaming service. With that, I will call our meeting to a close. And thank you again all for your time and attendance today.
Thank you.
All right, staff, we can stop the recording.